Okay, we are still early, huh? Another 2 minutes before 3, so we will start at 3. Huh? So for the time being, you can just meditate or silence your mind. Huh? We can get ready for puja. Today is the 14th of June 2017. It's now 51st platform sutta, 6B platform sutta plus. So we will now compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, and mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho sanghang namami. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. ดุติยัมปิสังฆังสรณังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิพุทธังสรณังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิธัมมังสรณังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิสังฆังสรณังกัจฉามิปานาติปาทาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิอาทินาทานาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิกามิสุมิจฉาจาราเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิมุสาวาทาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสุราเมรัยมัจจาปะมาทฐานะเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสาธุสาธุสาธุโอเค we are now chant the salutation to the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha Buddhang pujami Dhammang pujami Sanghang pujami You can be seated, then we can commence our platform sutta. Turn to page 1. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of aeons. Now I see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Then we are at page 248. Turn to page 248. We go to the sutta. The sutra said, what are the 100,000 Myriad transformation body of the Buddha? If you are free of any thought of the 10,000 Dhammas, then your nature is basically like emptiness. But in one thought of calculation, transformation occurs. Evil thoughts are transformed into hell beings, and good thoughts into heavenly being. Viciousness is transformed into dragon and snake, and compassion into bodhisattvas. Wisdom is transformed into the upper realm, and delusion into the lower realm. The transformation of the self nature are extremely many, and yet the confused people unawakened to that truth continuously give rise to evil and walk evil path. Turn a single thought back to goodness and wisdom is produced. That is a transformation body of the Buddha within your own self nature. So this part of the sutta is very beautiful. It's quite similar to what Sakyamuni Buddha has taught. Dhammapada was 1 and 2. He talked about the self nature, from the self nature, how the mundane mind arises. That's why Dhammapada was 1 and 2 is a complementary verse. The Buddha straight away highlight to all the cultivator, he said, our mind is very important. And there are two minds inside. One is the true mind, the self nature. But the self nature is the unconditioned, He got no words, no concept, nothing inside there. It cannot come out and live life. But from the self nature, everything can arise. That's why he said our mundane mind, conditioned arising mind, the thinking mind, that one is the forerunner of all things. So our mind is the forerunner of all things. That one refers to the transformation mind or mundane mind, thinking mind, conditioned arising mind. So this mind, he said, you have to take care because it's the forerunner of all things, its chief. When mind arises, everything arises. So if you are heedless, if you don't take care of mind, so you will follow this sutta. He said, evil thoughts are transformed into helping. So if you become heedless, if you don't train yourself, develop the ability to be mindful, to be aware, and to understand what constitutes evil, then you will fall. Then if you train yourself, develop good thoughts, you will have good karmic inheritance, a good result. So good thoughts can transform into heavenly beings, whereas viciousness is transformed into dragons and snakes. So those who have a lot of anger, violence, delusion. And you can develop compassion and wisdom, you will be transformed into bodhisattvas. So those who have wisdom, they will have virtue. They are transformed into the upper realm. Whereas delusion will bring forth the condition for them to be transformed to the lower realm. So the transformation of the self nature are extremely many, and yet the confused people unawakened to that truth continuously give rise to evil and walk the path of evil or evil path. So cultivation is very simple, eh? According to the sutta. Turn a single thought back to goodness and wisdom is produced. That is the transformation body of the Buddha within yourself nature. So technically it's as simple as that. So this is the gist of the sutta. We now go on to the commentaries. We see what Master Xuanhua's commentary is like. According to Xuanhua's commentary, having discussed the perfect full reward body, which lacks nothing and has nothing in excess, which obtains nothing and loses nothing, is neither defiled nor immaculate, increasing or decreasing, male or female, good nor evil, but which is perfect bodhi that returns to non-attainment. The six patriarchs ask, what are the 100,000 Mayurag's transformation body? We have one transformation body, you say. How can we have 100,000 Mayurag transformation body? What do the Buddha's transformation body have to do with me? The transformation body are simply 100,000 Mayurag thoughts and calculation. Sakyamuni Buddha can transform himself to appear in any one of the 10 Dhamma realms. That is, he can become a Buddha, a Bodhisattva, a Pacheka Buddha, an Arahat, a god, an Asura, a human, hell realm, hell beings, hungry ghosts, or even animal realms. You might also say that you and I have 100,000 Mayurag transformation body. I have taken 100,000 Mayurag disciples, and all of them imitate their teacher in cultivation. They see their teacher eating only one meal a day before noon and say, I'm going to do that too. I tell them, I never stick out my hand and back. I don't depend on external situation, and neither should you. If no one makes an offering to me and I die, that's just fine. Those who live the home life under me, follow my three conditions as I do. So this part is what Shenhua will do. Freezing, I don't beg. Starving, I don't scheme. And dying of poverty, I ask for nothing. The disciples say, all right, even if we starve to death, we won't beg or scheme. Because they copy me, they are my transformation body. In future, you will have transformation bodies too. If you have a good way of doing things, you will have 100,000s of good transformation bodies. If you have an evil, ghostly way, you will have that many ghostly transformation body. If you are free of any thought of the 10,000 Dhamma, then your nature is basically like emptiness. One thought not produced, the entire substance manifests. This one is true. If you do not give rise to a single thought, your original Buddha nature appears. But are you producing a thought? Are you without false thinking? Are you not thinking? What will I eat tomorrow? What time will I go to bed tonight? Or I am thirsty. I think I will have a cup of tea. Without false thinking, you are a Buddha. But if you can't cut off your false thinking, you must not claim to be a Buddha. You must cultivate the way. If you haven't cultivated and say, hey, I'm a Buddha, you are just a dog of a Buddha. You can't simply say that everyone is Buddha. You have to cultivate and realize Buddhahood. Without cultivation, people are just people, animals are just animals, and dogs are dogs. But do not be offended. Dogs also have the Buddha nature. They have to cultivate. That's all. Regarding false thinking, I think by now you are familiar. You know what is false thinking? Use the mic, Miss Lee. It's a direct translation from the Mandarin word.
Wang Xiang.
Very good. Wang Xiang means you are heedlessly thinking. You think a lot, and you think the false thing, which are not the truth. That's why they call it false thinking. So this is a direct translation from the Mandarin word, but a better English word will be heedless thinking. Heedless thinking will be a better word. Heedless means you are not mindful. So this is a better word for false thinking. False thinking is a direct Mandarin translation. So this word, false thinking, Shenhua say, if you do not give rise to a single thought, your original Buddha nature will appear. This one you understand by now. How many of you don't understand? Do you understand this sentence? If you don't give rise to a single thought, your original Buddha nature will appear. Do you understand this? How many of you don't understand? Better put out your hand. Otherwise, if you don't put out your hand, I assume you understand. You see, I explained just now before we start. Each and every living being, we have a nature within. That's why we say we got two types of mind. One is your true mind, or your true nature, or your Buddha nature. The other one is your thinking mind, mundane mind, heedless thinking, conditioned arising mind. So that is the one that you use a lot in life. So if you are a cultivator of the Buddha Dhamma, you will understand. The moment thought does not arise, then the true mind, which is all the time there, you will be aware of it. You can connect to it. That is the meaning of the sutta. If you don't arise a single thought, means if you can be in the state of silent awareness. That's why the silent mind is the true mind. Where you can be completely silent without thought. That is your true mind. That is your true nature. And when you are in that state, you are with your nature. And your nature is basically the Buddha nature when you understand towards the end of the cultivation. That's why the sutta said it so clearly. If you do not arise a single thought, your original Buddha nature will appear. But then, Shenhua asks, but aren't you producing thought? Are you without false thinking? Are you not thinking? So, this thought process, the heedless thinking, the mundane thinking, they continuously arise in the mind of living being. That's the reason why you cannot be silent, you cannot meditate, you cannot realize your true mind, your true nature. So that is what the sutta is trying to tell you. So without false thinking, you are Buddha, the sutta said. But if you can't cut out your false thinking, you must not claim to be a Buddha. So the question is very simple. How do you cut off your false thinking? How do you cut off your false thinking? How can you cut off your false thinking? Use the mic. We have to discuss this, otherwise you will not understand. So how do you cut out your false thinking?
Stay with your activity moment to moment.
Okay. So Miss Lee has suggested stay with the activity from moment to moment. Means develop awareness. So that is one of the way. So any other way? But can you be continuously mindful? That is the question. Can you stay with the moment in awareness from moment to moment? That is continuous mindfulness. That is the daily mindfulness. With that, you can cut off your false thinking. But how can you do that? What are required? What are the conditions behind your ability to develop that state? How can you not be heedless? Means, how can your heedless mind be cut off? No more false thinking. No more heedless thinking. How can it happen? We learn it in the meditation, isn't it? You're supposed to understand all this. That's why when you meditate with understanding, you will know what to do. What?
When you are heedless, you are aware that you're heedless, then?
That one is just a small part of awareness. The moment you are aware that you are heedless, you are already aware. But that is just for that moment. You see, the moment you are aware that you are not aware, there is awareness. But then there is just that moment. That after that, what are you going to do? Meditation is about what? We have to go back. I think you all still haven't got it. What is meditation?
You have to meditate with understanding. So what is the understanding? What is meditation? What are you doing in the name of meditation? What are you doing in the name of meditation? If this one also you don't get it right, you cannot meditate, I tell you. What are you doing in the name of meditation? Yeah, you have to understand what is meditation. Meditation is to do what? pass to Pamasuri.
To train the mind.
Yeah, if your mind is having this false thinking or heedless thinking, first you have to train your mind. Train the heedless thinking mind so that it's no longer heedless. And you must understand why is your mind heedless. Why is your mind heedless? Why is it having this false thinking? Because of what? Because of? PJ. Very good. Because of the five mental hindrances. Because these are the things that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. So these mental hindrances are the cause of heedlessness. Then this has become habitual. That's a habitual tendency that Pamasuri mentioned. Habitual tendency come later. This heedlessness has become a habitual tendency because the mental hindrances are there and you don't understand. So when you understand that mental hindrances are there, what must you do? What must you do? You must cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties. The opposite five spiritual faculties. So, overcome the five mental hindrances. So this is what you're supposed to do in the meditation. So if you understand this, then meditation become meaningful. Meditation become easy. So if you don't understand this, you become gullible. You just do without understanding. People say note, you note. People say walk, you walk. Sit, you sit. And you don't understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. That's why you cannot progress. The problem arises when the thinking mind arises. The mental hindrance is the cause behind. So when you understand that, what must you do? You must cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties. And how do you cultivate this? We have already gone through. How do you cultivate this? Through puja. So you cultivate it through puja. Then what else? Puja to develop the spiritual faculty. Then second turning, contemplation. You have to reflect. Second turning, contemplation. You have to reflect clearly on who the Buddha is. The Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, the Triple Gem, so that you understand and develop the faith. Then after that, with the faith, when you understand clearly who the Buddha is, and how special the teaching is, it can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now and all those things, then it will spur you to cultivate. Then virya will arise. Then when there is this virya, spiritual zeal, you will go all out to cultivate. So you develop it through meditation, finally. that turning or meditative wisdom, that turning contemplation. Third turning, yeah, meditation. So when you meditate, you will develop the third turning wisdom, the understanding of it. So this third turning is very important, Bhavana Maya Panya, to develop the wisdom which is called Bhavana Maya Panya. So the spiritual faculty will arise. So when you meditate, you cultivate the four foundations of meditation. So here, the four foundations of meditation. The four foundations. Mindfulness. That's why Satipatthana come in. So within this, you got the daily mindfulness, mindfulness of your physical body, your form, kaya nupasana, vedana nupasana, citta nupasana, then you got dhamma nupasana. So this is how you develop them. But if the five spiritual faculty are still not there before it's stabilized, because the moment it's stabilized, you are in the meditative state straight away, your false thinking will not arise. Initially, it's like slow down, then hardly arise. Then later, it can never arise because you are fully aware, mindful, because of your spiritual faculty. But before that, you are still having this heedless thinking. So you have to train the heedless thinking mind to develop the spiritual faculty. So how do you train? You have to use skillful means. Like method, technique, that's how method and technique come about. They are skillful means to train the mind, nothing else. So like mind sweeping method, loving kindness, to bring about inner peace leading to inner calmness. So that there is sati. Then you stabilize it with anapanasati, which means you come back to the four foundations of mindfulness, the first category of practice. Then anapanasati will stabilize the silent mind. Because when you are able to decondition the heedless thinking through whatever skillful means. So this one, train the heedless thinking mind via various skillful means. So it can be mind sweeping method. Then combine with metta. Then after that, stabilize it with anapanasati. Which is mindfulness of the in and out breath. Yeah. Then from there, you go to the four foundation of mindfulness, which is the four posture, the daily mindfulness, and all those satipatthana training. And this is how you develop the understanding, to develop the ability to stop your false thinking, to do away with your false thinking, so that you are throughout the day mindful, aware. And that is the meditative state. And with that, the Buddha said, you are destined for enlightenment, because the heedless are as if dead. And heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. So this is the important understanding of meditation. If you meditate without understanding, you can never progress. And this has to be understood and cultivated. That's why when you develop whatever meditation or training, you have to fall back to this understanding. If you meditate without this understanding, you are wasting your time, I tell you. You can go in and out or retreat, do all those funny things, experience all the funny mental states, the calm, the peacefulness, the energy, the fantastic nimitta and all those things, the jhana, or whatever you may think you already achieved. But finally, you are back to square one, because you have not developed the understanding of what is meditation. You are not focused. You don't understand what you are doing. You don't have a clear understanding. That's why you don't have a proper understanding to guide you to meditate. So you are just being gullible, simply do things without understanding, following instructions here and there, and become gullible. We have people say, this is vipassana. Oh, vipassana. Oh, this is insight meditation, can develop insight. And then you get attracted. Then he said, you do what they call jhana, jnana, and all this, and all the big name come out. Then you can see nimitta. You can experience fantastic mind state, jhanas and all those things. Then you get attracted. But by doing so, you don't really understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. And that is being gullible. And you are doing all the thought-based meditation. Use your thought to meditate, to know, to search for things, to do all those funny things in the name of meditation. So the danger of meditation is not understanding what is meditation. So I hope by now this is clear to you. When you understand this, anywhere you go, any place, any retreat, you will progress, you will do well. So whatever they teach you, you will come to realize they are just method and technique. Skillful mean to train, but they have not developed the spiritual faculties. But the moment you have developed your spiritual faculties, stabilize it, you are in a meditative state throughout the day. You don't have to learn how to meditate anymore. In the midst of life, you are peaceful, you are aware, you are mindful. There is no more heedless thinking. There is no more false thinking, just like what the sutta said. Okay? Can you follow? Good. You can follow, it's very good. Otherwise, we have to maybe brief you a bit more. Okay, we continue. Six roots suddenly move. A covering of cloud. So when your sixth sendor becomes active, fully engaged, you will lose your ability to be mindful and heedful unless you have already train yourself, you are already very stable in your daily mindfulness. Otherwise, you will be in trouble. That's why he said the six roots suddenly move, then a covering of cloud means your nature, your true mind is no longer clear to you. You get lost in thought, clouded by your emotion, your feeling, your sankhara, your activity of mind. So all this distract you, create delusion in you. That's why you lose touch of your true mind. You fail to be aware. And these are like cloud, that cloud your nature, that hinders you from becoming mindful, peaceful. That's how you get yourself entangled with thought, with the phenomenal world. And that is the thing that makes you deluded. And we go on with the commentary. When you see something and think it's beautiful, or hear something and think music, you are being influenced by external. Using the sixth sense organ, the sixth sense object, and the sixth consciousness in this way, you cover yourself with cloud. That's how heedless thinking come about. Evil thoughts are transformed into helping. Suppose you think, how can I get famous? How can I succeed? This is craving, desire, and other things. I will start a riot, murder people, set fire, and loot the street. And good thoughts will transform you into heavenly beings. Oh, you say, I want to help people. You have no money. Here is $1,000,000 to help you get it. Or you think, no one makes offering to the Americans who had left home. I will make offering. Don't wait for America, such an affluent nation, to allow its new Buddhist Sangha to starve to death. transformed into heavens. Wisdom is transformed into the upper realm, and delusion into the lower realm. With intelligence, you go up. It should be with wisdom you go up. Eh? But if you are deluded, you will fall. The superior one mounts on high. The petty people travels to lower road. The transformation of the self nature are extremely many, and yet the confused people unawakened to that truth continuously give rise to evil and walk the evil path. The confused people's every thought is evil, means with the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. That person mistreat me, I'm going to ruin him. The great master Sun Tzu was the one who walked evil path by repeatedly send hired killer after the sixth patriarch. This one I think we have covered last Sunday. Huh? Turn a single thought back to goodness and wisdom is produced. That is the transformed body of the Buddha within your self nature. Then he is asked, do you understand? If you do, you are a good knowing advisor. If you don't, you are an evil knowing advisor. Wouldn't you rather be a good knowing advisor? So, this is the commentary part, which is quite good. So, the key to understanding this part of the sutta is Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. So we choose to take care of mind. If you train your mind, you become heedful, and you will be destined for enlightenment, for the heedful never die. If you are heedless, careless, do not wish to train your mind, you choose to be the way you are, heedless, then heedlessness will bring about downfall, because heedlessness is the path to the deathless. It's the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So if you don't train your mind, you continue to neglect and become heedless. You will not stand a chance to understand this teaching, the Buddha Dhamma. That's why you are destined for failure. Then you will fall to the lower realm, the evil realm. You will walk the evil path. Okay, we go to the sutta, page 251. Good knowing advisor, the Dhamma body of the Buddha is basically complete. To see your own nature in every thought is the reward body of the Buddha. When the reward body thinks and calculates, it is the transformation body of the Buddha. So this one, by now you should understand. So there is a clear distinction between transformation body. Transformation body is what they call the mundane mind, where according to your thought, you transform into something else. Whereas your true nature, which is your spiritual nature, or they call it the reward body, the spiritual nature, they are always beautiful, complete in itself. Means awaken and cultivate by your own effort the merits and virtue of your self nature. That is true taking refuge. That's why when you take refuge, you take refuge in your self nature. The skin and flesh of the physical body are like an inn in which you cannot return. Simply awaken to the three bodies of your self nature and you will understand the self nature Buddha. Okay, we go to the commentary. You yourself must wake up and cultivate on your own. Do not babble intellectual zen all day. Yak yak yak, he used the word. Because you talk about Zen, you quote the sutta, no use. Talking but never practice or cultivate. Taking a yak is not as good as practicing an inch. If you do nothing but talk, you are deceiving or cheating people. So pay no attention to whether my lecture are good or bad. Look instead to see if I have ever cheated you or deceived you. The six patriarchs tell you to awaken to the three bodies of your self nature. So you say, then taking refuge in myself is to take refuge with my body. No. You take refuge with your body, you are just adding a head on top of a head. Like Yanadatta in the Surangama Sutta, who ran everywhere looking for his head. Your physical body is an inn where your self nature temporarily dwells. Therefore, you cannot say, my body is me. Your body is not you. Then is it someone else? No, your body is yours. It's not mine or his. It's yours, but it is not you. Don't I always say that if you live in a house, you can say the house is yours, but you certainly cannot say the house is you. If you say that it is you, everyone will say, he doesn't even know who he is. He thinks his house is him. But it's just a thing. Your body is like a house. Don't mistake it for being you. So he asks you, do you understand? So this one is easy. I have gone through you all many times. The form and mind is never you. The physical body and the thinking mind, mundane mind, dependent originating mind, conditioned arising mind, they are your karmically conditioned form and mind. And that one has got nothing to do with your true nature. So that one is karmically conditional for you to use. Don't take refuge with the physical body. Take refuge with your self nature. Awaken to the clear, pure Dhamma body. Buddha, the perfect full reward body Buddha, and the 100,000 mind right transformation body Buddha within your own self nature. By understanding the Buddha of your self nature, you may perfect the three bodies. So these three bodies are easy to understand, The Dhammakaya, the Sambhogayakaya, and the Nibbanakaya. So these are the three bodies we have gone through before. The Nibbanakaya is the what they call segmented life physical body that you come with. We call it the functional body that performs the function of whoever who come with it. Like this life, this nature of my brother Teo, its functional body is this physical body which you call brother Teo. So this is the functional body or Nibbanakaya that this nature take to come to this world, this life. For you it's the same, you have your Nibbanakaya which is your functional body that perform the function of who you are in this world. In this conditional, that if you have cultivated before, you have a spiritual body in nature, but you cannot connect to this spiritual body unless you have developed the ability to meditate, to silence your mind, to connect to your true nature. Then you can inherit, and then it will come. Then if you have perfected your spiritual body, this spiritual body, together with the functional body, they will transform you into the third Dhamma body. Dhamma body is the combined entity that can speak the Dhamma. But in that case, it's reserved for the Buddha. Because the functional body of the Buddha, together with his perfect spiritual perfection, Sambhogaya Kaya, when they combine, then he becomes the Sama Sambuddha that teaches the Dhamma. That's why he transformed into a Dhammakaya, the Dhamma body that speaks the Dhamma, shares the Dhamma, and transmits the Dhamma. That's how the three body comes about. Okay? Is it clear? Anybody not clear? Or anybody got any question? You can ask. Is it clear before we move on? The three bodies. By now you should be clear, isn't it? Maybe I just draw here. You see, when you are born into this world, you have a physical body and you have a mind. So this mind is your consciousness. Then this physical body or form, this one is your Nimanakaya. Or functional body that perform the function of who you are. Then when you know how to meditate and silence your mind, then this one connect you to your true nature, true mind, or true nature, or Buddha nature. Then you inherit your spiritual understanding, spiritual understanding. And this is the one which they call the Sambhogaya Kaya. So this spiritual understanding is your Sambhogaya Kaya. Kaya is a body, so this is spiritual body. This is functional body. So Kaya is your body. So these two, when you combine, they form the third body. They call it the Dhamma body. Dhamma Kaya. Or Dhamma body. So these are the three kayas. So first one is the functional body. Second one is your spiritual body. Then the third one is your Dhammakaya. But for you to have the Dhammakaya, you must have your spiritual perfection developed. Otherwise, it can't happen. So the Dhamma body is a unique body reserved for Sama Sambuddha. But you have developed your cultivation to a certain level. You can also manifest that Dhamma body, but you are not a Sama Sambuddha, that's it. The difference is you have Dhamma, but you may not have the all-knowing understanding, wisdom, and virtue of a Sama Sambuddha. Okay, is it clear? Okay, let me move on, huh? Page 253, huh? I have a verse without mark. You can recite and memorize it. It will wipe away accumulated aeons of confusion and offenses as soon as the words are spoken. The verse run as follows. So these are very powerful dhammas from the sutta. Huh? So you can understand, means you have your past cultivation. Then you can transform overnight. Because according to the sutta, you will wipe away accumulated aeons of confusion and offense as soon as the words are spoken. So the verse runs this way. A confused person will foster blessings, but not cultivate the way. So this one is very clear. Eh? And say to practice for the blessing is to practice the way. So this is wrong view. Eh? Because a lot of people believe by doing good is enough. But cultivating the way goes beyond just being good. You have to develop wisdom. Then the next verse is, while giving and making offering brings blessing without limit. It is in the mind that the three evil roots have their origin. So this is just to let you know clearly the important difference between just doing good, making offering, and cultivation. Because by making offering, doing good, it can bring about a lot of blessings. It can bring about a lot of merits and all those things. But it is in the mind that the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion have its origin. It originates from self-delusion, ignorance. So by seeking blessing, you may wish to obliterate offenses. But in future, though you are blessed, offenses still remain. You ought to simply strike the evil condition from your mind by true repentance and reform within your own self nature. That's why you have to repent and determine to change. That's why you reform. When you do it sincerely with your heart, within your self nature, a sudden awakening, which is the true repentance and reform of the great vehicle, means you take the bodhisattva vow. You walk the bodhisattva way. That's how you can break free. Otherwise, not easy. You must cast out the deviance and practice the Dhamma to be without offense. Means you must avoid all evil. All evil and deviant, wrong view, cultivation, or actions, speech and thought process. Then to study the way, always look within your own self nature. You are then the same in kind and lineage as all Buddhas. Our patriarch passed along only this sudden teaching, wishing that all might see the nature and be of one substance. In the nature, if you wish to find the Dhamma body, detach yourself from Dhamma mark and inwardly wash the mind. Strive to see it for yourself and do not waste your time. For when the final thought has stopped, your life comes to an end. Enlightenment to the great vehicle, you can see your nature. So reverently join your palm and seek it with all your heart. So this is how you develop the cultivation. Yeah? So this is the teaching on going direct to the true mind, yeah? Where there will be no delusion, no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of any Dhamma and all those things. So this is a different type of cultivation. That's why he said, the sutta say, I have a verse without mark. You can recite and memorize it, it will wipe away accumulated eons of confusion and offenses as soon as the words are spoken. You can only do that when you have the cultivation and understanding. Because as soon as the words are spoken, you understand. That's why with that, your nature is different. And you can wipe off all these accumulated eons of offenses. Okay, we go on to the commentary. The commentary say, don't be nervous. Continue, the great master. I have some good news, don't you know? I have a verse without mark. Do you want to hear it? If you do, I will recite. If not, I will just pass it away. Then they say yes. Everyone exclaim and say yes. We definitely do want to hear it. Please be compassionate to recite it. You can learn this verse by heart, the master said. It will cause the confusion and crime accumulated from beginningless time, passing through limitless ages, life after life, to be eradicated immediately. Where will they go? Do you mean you still want to look at for them? What a waste of effort. A confused person will force the blessing, but if you tell him to cultivate with vigor, he won't do it. Although there are not many students here, those present are extremely sincere. They do not fear leg pain, back pain, any pain whatsoever. I will endure this pain and cultivate the way, even if it means giving up my life, they say. Such rare determination makes me happy, but I don't show my happiness by joking with you all day. It is not that kind of happiness. It is true happiness. Deluded people say, to practice for blessing is practicing the way. This is like Emperor Wu of Liang, who said, I have taken Bhikkhu across and have built many temples. I have made offerings and practiced charity and arranged vegetarian banquet. What great merits I must have. It's probably even greater than Sakyamuni Buddha's. Giving and making offering brings limitless blessing, but the origin of the three evil roots is within the mind. Then what are the three evils? Roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why in cultivation you must understand all this. Greed, the first evil root, is explained here. I think I will eat a few more peanuts and then I won't be hungry today. Hey, who ate all the peanuts? This is having aversion. Then delusion. Hating the one who ate the peanut, which makes you unreasonable and stupid. Cultivating blessings while neglecting wisdom has made you so stupid that you can't quit over eating and even have the gall to speak of it as a bitter practice. You cannot get rid of offense by cultivating blessing, because although you obtain blessing, the offenses still remain. What you should do is rid the mind of all evil conditions, that is, the thought of greed, hatred, and delusion, jealousy, obstructiveness, conceit, obsequiousness, viciousness, and deceitfulness. But they are my old friend, you say. We have been together for millions of years. How can I part with them? Fine. If you can't part with them, then there is nothing to do but follow them down to hell. To practice true repentance and reform, is to understand the great vehicle and immediately get rid of all this evil thought. It is very clear, no analogy are needed. You truly repent when you get rid of the deviant and practice the right. As the six patriarchs verse said, then you may walk down the straight, great, bright road and be without offense. To study the way, always look within the self nature. Ask yourself, what am I doing? See? You have to develop a way of understanding. What am I doing in the name of meditation? Am I acting like a person or a ghost or an animal or a horse or a cow? What? You are what you are. You are what you do. If you act like a Buddha, you are a Buddha. The Buddha practices friendliness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and giving. His compassion is genuine, not false and greedy. He never thinks, if I am a little compassionate to you, you will be greatly compassionate to me. There are no ulterior motives in the compassion I had for you. I will not give you a brick or and expect a piece of cheque in return. Cultivator turns the light around, reverses illumination and asks, am I thinking like a demon or a Buddha? Am I selfish or generous, self-seeking or charitable? If you are charitable, you are the same in kind as all the Buddhas. If you act like a Buddha, you are a Buddha. But if you act like a ghost, how can you be a Buddha? By our patriarch, the six patriarch means Bodhidharma, who transmitted only the sudden teaching, Dhammadhamma, because he wanted everyone to see the Buddha nature and realize the Buddha's way together. If you wish to find Dhamma body, then separate yourself from all mark. Do not be attached, jealous, obstructive, ignorant, afflicted, or snobbish. You cannot think as the Buddha did. In the heaven and below, I alone am honored. The Diamond Sutta says, one who has left all mark is called a Buddha, apart from mark and unattached to self and to Dhamma. The mind ground is cleansed. Strive to see it for yourself and go forward with heroic vigor. You will never succeed if you are lazy and waste your time saying, wait, I will cultivate tomorrow. Wait, I will translate tomorrow. Even at lunchtime, you say, wait, I will eat later. Wait till it's time to die, and King Yama won't listen to you when you say, wait, I will die later. If you are truly free, you come and go in birth and death, and yet are not subject to birth and death. King Yama has no control over you. This is like the third patriarch, Sun San, who said, you see others sit in lotus posture to die and think it's special. Watch this. And grab a tree branch with one hand and went to Nirvana. Just hanging there, wasn't he free? If you wait until you die, until your dying breath to cultivate, it will be too late. For when the final thought has stopped, your life comes to an end. Early in chapter 4, didn't the sutta say that you should not cut off your thought? Because when the last thought is cut off, you die, and then undergo rebirth in some other place. At the time of death, there is nothing, no fame, no riches. Both your hands will be empty and you will be forced to put down what you can't put down. No matter how dear your loved ones are, you will have to part with them. Next page. Enlightened to the great vehicle, you can see the nature. So reverently join your palms and seek it with your heart. So Xuanhua is trying to explain this part. San Juan said, see the nature and humbly seek to follow the unsurpassed way. So the unsurpassed way is the Mahayana great vehicle. Okay, the next section of the sutta said, the master said, good knowing advisor, all of you should take up this verse and cultivate according to it. If you see your nature at the moment these words are spoken, even if we are 1,000 miles apart, you will always be by my side. If you do not awaken at the moment of speaking, then face to face we are 1,000 miles apart. So why did you bother to come from afar? Take care of yourself and go well. The United Assembly heard this Dhamma, and there were none who did not awaken. They received it with delight and practiced it in accordance with it. So this sutta is very powerful. Eh? This is similar to what the Buddha told Ananda and the monks at that time. There was one monk who kept on looking at the Buddha and admired his 9 great virtues, the 30 over hallmarks, minor characteristics. Then the Buddha asked him, what are you doing, Bhikkhu? He said, I'm admiring your 9 great virtues and the 32 hallmarks and all things. And I felt joy. I felt very pleased, very happy. And my faith is very strong when I see that. Then the Buddha admonished him. He said, oh Bhikkhu, only he who sees my teaching sees me. He who sees my physical form never sees me. So this one is similar. What Huineng says is, if you can understand that poem that he has recited, at the moment you recite it, you understand it, then even though you can be a few 1,000 miles away, but you are like very near to him, because you have understood his teaching. But even when you are very near to him and you have not understood his teaching, you are like 1,000 miles away. So that is the meaning. If you want to be close to the Buddha, the Triple Gem, you have to realize the teaching. Otherwise, through delusion, through ignorance, you are far away, far apart from the Triple Gem, from the Buddha. So this is the meaning. We go to the commentary and we see what Xuan Hua have to share. I think the 6th patriarch liked to talk, and so he delivered this platform sutta. If he hadn't liked to speak, he wouldn't have thought any sutta at all. Now I am teaching it to all of you. You are quite intelligent, the master said, and you have good roots. You have an affinity which goes back for many lifetimes and many ages, and therefore we have met here today. Of course there were no foreigners in the master's Dhamma assembly. They are all Chinese. That I have met with so many Americans must be the case of even greater affinity. So this is Xuan Hua's reference. You understand the verse I have recited, said the master. You will get rid of the deviant, practice the right, and without offense. And although we are 1,000 miles apart, you will be right beside me. So this is the same meaning. If my disciple understand and remember the sutta I have explained, they will be right beside me. But if instead they take advantage of external circumstances or get jealous and angry, they will have studied the way in vain. If they don't understand this verse, then even if we should stand face to face, we would still be 1,000 miles apart. If they believe in me, although we are 1,000 miles apart, we are face to face. Are you trying to make people believe in you? You ask, no, why should I want you to believe in me? You are better off believing in yourself, because if you cultivate, you will do it for yourself. You don't eat to make me full. All I do is teach you the teaching. If you have come all this way just to be 1,000 miles from me, why do you bother to come at all? Take care of yourself. Don't look down on yourself and say, I am not going to cultivate. I am nothing but a dog anyway. See yourself as a person, not a dog. And go to a good place, not a bad place. So this is Xuanhua's version. Xuanhua's what they call commentaries. Okay, we stop here. Because the next page is chapter 7 already. So chapter 7, we will keep it for next week. Okay, we finish chapter 6. So do you have any question? Anybody got any question? You got any question, you can ask. You can also share whatever you have. What's the time now? Oh, we still got 15 minutes before 4:30, our meditation. Okay, we keep it for Q&A. Anybody got anything to ask or report your whatever meditation of last week? Anybody? Yes, put up your hand. We pass the mic to our brother at the back there. Push the mic out. Push the mic.
When I'm sitting down, my legs tend to tremble.
Okay.
So I don't know what causes it to tremble.
You are saying your leg tremble when you sit?
Yes.
Is it only during meditation?
No.
Even not during meditation?
Even not during meditation.
Do you sit the way you sit? No. Are you sitting the way you sit now?
No.
When did it tremble? You have to show me. When do you... Now you are trembling. Your leg is trembling.
Can see,
Are you sitting the way you are sitting when the leg tremble?
Even when I cross my leg, also it tremble.
So it happened even when you are not meditating. So there is no question, is it? It's your physical condition. Before you meditate, you already tremble. So now you are trembling more violently, more fiercely. So your question is regarding your physical condition. You have to find out for yourself where your physical condition is, your own personal condition. It could be due to your bodily condition. Because when you hang your buttock so high, it will tremble. Understand? You have to learn to sit without the back piece. That's why when I sit without the back piece. Well, when you hang your leg out, it tend to... It's your bodily condition when you are more elderly. This thing will happen. Sometimes when you go through all Asia, you see the old people when they walk, their hand also tremble, their leg also tremble. So this is your physical condition. If you want to overcome this, you have to check with the pharmaceutical people or those who may know how to treat all this. Sometimes it's the medication. If you take the right medication, it can help you. You need to strengthen certain aspect of your organ. Your vitality within your body, certain aspect of it is weakening. Understand? So the vital organ, the qi flow, as you age, you will have this problem. Not only you, many people will have. And sometimes it's because of nerve, Parkinson's disease and all. Sometimes people who go through Parkinson's disease or elderly, they cannot sign check. They cannot write properly. Their hand tend to shiver, tremble. It's a physical body condition. You understand? So nothing to do with meditation. So you have to seek other people's advice. Maybe you go and ask some Chinese sensei or who really understand. They can give you some herbs formula, Chinese herbs. After you take, they can help you to adjust. They call it tiao. So help you to adjust, then maybe improve your health through that medication that can strengthen certain part of your organ. And sometimes the pharmaceutical people also, certain drugs, I should use the word medication, certain food supplement or medication can also help you. You have to find out for yourself. Okay? Any meditation question or Dhamma question? Do you have any?
Okay, I have
one.
On the repentance. Repentance, how do we do repentance?
I already explained to you y'all many times. You have to go back to listen to some of the earlier recordings. I will repeat it one more time so that you can understand. You see, our chanting book, Miss Lee, you have you pass him a copy. You see, this repentant thing, you have to do it with understanding. It's just like meditation. You cannot just like a parrot, just pass one to him and show him the page. You cannot just like a parrot, just recite and chant, then expect it to work. It won't work. You have to have the understanding why I need to repent. Do you understand? Never mind, just give him the book. I will guide him. You listen, listen, so that you understand. I have repeated this many times already. You are not listening. That's why you don't get it until now. Do you know why you repent? Why do you need to repent? Why? Yes, your answer.
When I do something that is either bad or...
Okay, when you do something bad, then anything else? Then you just want to repent?
No, I'm worried about the past karmic.
Okay, you want to overcome your karmic, your past karmic offenses. Okay? Then what else? Why do you repent? Just because you know you have done something wrong, you want to overcome your karmic offense. then you want to do repent. Is that what you meant? Is that what you meant?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Then I will explain to you. You're off the mic, yeah? You see, like I mentioned just now, you need to understand why you need to ask for forgiveness and do repentance. The teaching has already told us, the Buddha already, from the opening teaching, he already mentioned it very clearly. This law of karma, the Buddha said, you have to reflect deep into it. This is the first right view that you must have. The Buddha, under the five daily contemplation, is also in the chanting book at the back. The five daily contemplation. The first four is about the physical body. The first three, sorry. This body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, for it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. So this is to let you reflect, contemplate, and understand that this body don't belong to you. It's made out of the four elements, no knowing. It goes the way of nature. So you cannot attach and cling. You cannot be deluded by it. Then the fourth contemplation is, the Buddha said, all that you think you own or you possess, your loved one, your prized possession, things that you hold on to dearly, they are not real. They don't belong to you. They are dependent originating, condition arising. It's either when conditions cease to be, they were not belong to you anymore. They were separate from you. So separation is a reality. Then the other way is when there is still condition, but when your breath stops, your identity erased, also they separate from you. So all this possession, wealth, or whatever that you hold on to, cling on to, they are of the nature to arise through condition and cease through condition. And either way, they don't belong to you. So if you have this wisdom, you will not have suffering when you confront separation. But the fifth contemplation is a very important contemplation to develop understanding of the law of karma. The Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So when you reflect on all these words that the Buddha mentioned and asked you to reflect, then you realize our whole life depends on karma because we are born of it. We inherit everything that karma conditions us into. Then every moment, every instant, we are conditioned and supported by karma. Means while you go through life, every moment, every instant, you are conditioned and supported by your karma. Then you are what you are because of your karma. So it means 100% of your life is all dependent on karma. So if you don't take care of karma, you are going to be in deep trouble. So that is the meaning of law of karma. Then the Buddha said, this law of karma is very fair because you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and you are what you are because of it. So whatever you do to people will come back to you. You reap what you sow. Do good, we get good. Do evil, we get evil. If you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. If you plant the seed of wholesomeness, goodness, you will reap the fruit of goodness and wholesomeness. This is the nature's law. So having understood this, then you will come to know whatever you do to people, like you cheat people, harm people, deceive people, do all those funny things to people. The law of karma states if there is condition in future, people will do back all this to you. They will cheat you, they will deceive you, harm you, cause all the misery, suffering, in you, the whatever fear, phobia, misery, suffering that you have inflicted on people. In future, when there is condition, you become the victim. You will be inflicted the same way. Then if you cheat people, deceive people, harm people, cause suffering and misery to people, in future you will become the victim. You will go to the same type of people who will cheat you, deceive you, harm you, and cause so much suffering and misery to you. So this is the law of karma. Having understood this law of karma as the right view, you have to tell yourself, what must I do to improve my life, to change my life destiny? Eh? What must you do? What must you do? After all the explanation, like what the Buddha has told you, what must you do from now onward? What must you do when you know this right view about law of karma? If you don't know what you are supposed to do, then you come for Dhamma class for what? You have to take care of karma, understand or not? So this is how you begin. Take care of karma. What is the meaning of taking care of karma? Yeah? How do you take care of karma? You have to follow the advice of the Buddha. And what is the advice of the Buddha? Avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind, which is meditation. So how do you avoid all evil? You already committed it in the past. That's why in the repentance there, I teach you how to recite it. Whomsoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that you have caused any karmic negativity, karmic suffering and misery, you would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. Then we included another part, misled also. So this is what law of karma is all about. Whatever that you have done, committed, is already the past. You cannot change. So the only way to improve your karma is to ask for repentance, ask for forgiveness, so that your karmic offense, your karmic obstruction can be watered down or overcome. Otherwise, this karmic obstruction will obstruct you from meeting the right people, understanding the right teaching to break free. So karmic obstruction are very powerful. Karmic offense are very powerful. So you have to do three things. First, you must have right view in regards to law of karma and tell yourself, the reason why I need to ask for repentance or ask for forgiveness is because this is the law of karma. And I cannot go against this law. My life depends entirely on this law. So you must have this faith, this understanding, this right view that you determine from now onward, I am going to sincerely ask for forgiveness. Recite the repentance with understanding, with faith, with determination. Then the second part is, I vow not to repeat all this. Well, this is wrong. These are karmic offenses, karmic negativity, which can lead to my downfall, the karmic nature's downfall. And this is going to affect all my future life. That's why when you repent with understanding, then you move on to determine not to repeat all this by following the advice of the Buddha to keep your precept. That's how you avoid all evil. Then to cultivate the teaching, right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then the four right effort to purify and all things. Then meditate to develop the wisdom to free your mind. So you determine not to repeat all this, we are following the advice of the Buddha to do all this. So when you follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, keep your precept, do all the good things, cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, develop meditation, you would have done your duty as a human being. Then this will bring about a lot of merits, blessing, wholesomeness. Then you invoke the power of merits. by the power of this merit that this nature of mind has cultivated, may it arise the causes and conditions for me to always avoid the foolish, meet up with the wise, so that Nibbana can be realized as soon as possible. Or you can invoke power of merit for whatever you want, so that it can bring about causes and conditions for you to break your coming obstruction, just like the Bodhisattva way that I share with you all, the notes all I have given to you all. So read those things, understand them, and do it with understanding. That is what repentance is all about. Okay? If you do this, you will become completely different. Your life will change. Your life destiny will become beautiful, and you will get to reap the fruition of your cultivation. Then your life destiny will change for the better. Your law of karma, your karmic nature will change for the better. Then your cultivation along this path, along this understanding, will transform you into a beautiful living being, from now onward. Then as you continue and progress with this cultivation over the long period of cultivation, you will become very different, and you will transform. Your life destiny will be completely transformed. And this is what the teaching is all about. It's very simple, not difficult. Then you can invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to progress along the path of Dhamma. So all these are in the teaching. So this chanting book, you go back and read, then listen to this today's sharing, then make sure you understand, then with the understanding, you ask for repentance. Then it will be very effective. It will help you to overcome all your karmic obstruction, karmic negativity. Then later on, as you follow the advice of the Buddha, you will progress beautifully. Then invoke power of merits for good life, for better life, for better condition to arise many, many wholesome things. Okay? Okay. Then we can have our meditation. Now for the divine. Okay, we off the light. Then you all can have your meditation. You all can meditate for half an hour. I think today we will give you. Or you want to have 40 minutes. Okay, 40 minutes, since we have time. You can meditate for 40 minutes. Okay. I will ring the bell after 40 minutes. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then we can have our meditation reporting followed by any question that you have. You can ask whatever question that is related to your meditation or the Dhamma. Anybody? Just put up your hand. Nobody. So what do you want to learn? You should report your meditation, otherwise you cannot learn. Reporting meditation is very useful. You just report exactly what you do and how you do. Then I can advise you on what are the things you are lacking or you have to look at. Never mind, Miss Lee. Never mind. If you don't have question, no need. You better let other people report or meditation. Or is there anything that you don't understand about the Dhamma? You can ask. Today, quite a number has gone for detox. Then Eng B got a gathering. I was told Brother Song, Chin Hao, Polian and Man Yuan, they are somewhere in Kulima. Then Alicia also not free. Okay. You better let me know what is it that you want to understand. Just report your meditation, then from there we can start. Pass to PG.
Good afternoon, Brad.
Good afternoon.
Since nobody wants to discuss anything, I just take this opportunity.
Good.
After the many years of practicing,
very good.
I feel that I am now very much calm. And I can see a difference.
You should see big difference.
But the mind, no doubt, has calmed down. But when it comes to meditation, it seems to take a life of its own. It still seems to think a lot. And especially when I am going to sleep. I can normally, if I have the time before I go to bed, I will do a short meditation, because after a long day of work, I find that it helps to do a short meditation.
It will help. When you wake up, before you sleep, you learn how to meditate or radiate metta or do your simple mindfulness exercise, it will help you a lot.
Especially if I do my puja and I do my meditation before I go to sleep.
Yeah, radiate metta and all those things. Yeah.
But the minute I go to sleep on the bed, things just turn and the mind becomes so active. I'm just wondering what happened. Perhaps Brother Teo can give a brief explanation on this. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. You see, as you go through the meditative training, initially you tend to develop a lot of the usual problem. You find the mind very difficult to calm down. It thinks a lot. It doesn't listen to you. Then you want to silent, relax, and meditate. You cannot. Then you try a lot of things that people teach you, the method, technique, because in the early days, most people are like that. They don't understand. So when you don't understand, your mind will have that type of problem. So what people do is they go after method and technique. So some who are very diligent, they will force their mind to become peaceful and calm. They concentrate, they focus, or they use all this method and technique to bring about an experience of calmness of mind, quietness of mind. Then they start to see some improvement in their meditation. They become more calm, more quiet. Then some, when they are able to focus, concentrate, they see nimitta like. Then the mind get excited, then they do it more frequently, then more calm. But most of the time, it goes into what they call thought-based meditation, which is concentration, focusing, method, technique. But when you understand the Dhamma, you will do it differently. Like I explained just now, you will train your mind differently with understanding. So initially, when you start to do it, you will not experience the result immediately because you still haven't got hold of the understanding of what this thing is. Not until you develop very strong faith, determination to understand this teaching, then go all out to do it. That's why the spiritual faculty must come in. Saddha, virya, then sati. Sati you have to do until very stable, until your daily mindfulness is very stable. Then initially, before your daily mindfulness come, you must have a good religious routine, like I always advise you all. Religious routine means throughout the day, you must be in the meditative state or have a religious routine that is inclined towards Dhamma. Dhamma means at any one time you reflect, you contemplate, and you dwell on Dhamma. That is how you develop the determination to cultivate, to change, to incline towards Dhamma. So what I normally advise is early morning when you wake up, first thing, pay respect, triple jam. Then you need to go to the toilet, ease yourself. Then meditate. Do puja, radiate metta, then meditate. Initially you cannot do it, maybe 10-15 minutes will do, at least you calm yourself down. Then later as you become more adult, better, you extend it for 20 minutes. To 30 minutes, then sometimes you can do for 45 minutes better. But during working day, you may not have the luxury of time because you may have to work. You are already retired, pension, then easier. Otherwise, you do wherever there is condition to do, means where time permit. Determine to wake up early, then have at least half an hour to do all this. Then after that, speed up your other thing, like your brushing of teeth, washing your face, getting yourself dressed up to go out. speed them up, but develop mindfulness of what you are doing. Then pay respect to Triple Gem before you go out of the house. And when you go out of the house, determine to be aware. Then when you reach the office, do the same. Relax, silent, got condition to meditate, you meditate. You have a room to yourself, easier. Lunch break, you lock yourself up or off the light, then you meditate. Or you got a place where you can go and rest. Normally, like any Muslim, they have their surah and other things. They can go in and perform their religious service. So you have a quiet place where nobody use, like meeting room or what. You can go in, ask for permission. If not, you can sit at your place where you are working to do your silent meditation. Then in between, maintain daily mindfulness. Then when you come back, do the same. First thing you do, you come back to your house, you pay your respect. Then after that, you go about doing whatever thing you do with daily mindfulness. Then before you sleep, again, you meditate. Allow about half an hour. Then you go and sleep. Then like your case, because when you do all this routine, you are more calm, you are more peaceful because you have developed the understanding. But you don't know how to carry it on into your sleeping state. Sleeping state, you have to understand. You have to learn how to meditate while you are lying down. So it's the same. Instead of in a sitting posture or lying down posture, because maybe you seldom do the lying down posture. You are in the lying down posture, straight away you can be aware because you have done your religious routine. You have developed some form of ability to be mindful while you are cultivating. So when you lie down, it's the same. First, aware of your posture, how you go to your bed, every movement, every action. Then, even before that, how you change over to your pajamas or whatever you change over to your pajama to sleep. Then sometimes you need to brush your teeth and do all those things. So you do it with mindfulness. Then as you go onto the bed, how you go up, how you actually cover yourself with a blanket or comforter or whatever. Develop mindfulness. Then in a relaxed position, silent. You can sleep facing up or on one side, towards your right or towards your left. It's up to you. More important is the moment you lie down, you're aware, you're silent. The moment you're silent, you will be very different. The awareness is very strong. But if you are not in the meditative state, then you realize the thought will think a lot. A lot of this thing going on. This is because when you sleep, you are actually in a subconscious or unconscious state. That's why this sankhara, which are your mental activity that you did not finish off, or Krishnamurti called it, your mind is not in order. Means throughout the day, there are still a lot of issues that you have not resolved, not able to completely understood, or not to hold on to and not to worry about. So whatever thing that you are holding on to, that you have accumulated in your memory, your whatever phobia, unfinished business and other things, your views and opinion, your reaction of life, like and dislike, whatever insecurity and other things, or thing that you put attention to and you worry about, in whatever manner, they will be the one that will haunt you. It become like attachment that went in without you knowing. And this is all accumulated in your memory. It can include your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your whatever that you hold on to. Then this thing will have to release. The brain has to find order. It can only find order when you are resting, like sleeping, or not doing anything. Then the thought will release itself. This is called subconscious and unconscious release. Then your brain will become more orderly, more fresh. And there is a reason why you realize a lot of thinking arise during the sleeping, when you are about to sleep. And you cannot do anything while you are resting. So if you really want to find out, you just relax and silent, like you are in a meditative state, fully aware. Then you can be aware of many, many things. Then you can also be aware of your thought process. But because you are aware, the thought is less active. Less active. Then you allow your this conscious mind, which is aware, to slowly goes back into the unconscious, the sleeping mode. You just relax into it, silent. Then it will slowly go into it. Then when it is about to go into it, because you are not fully aware, but still the awareness is there, then you will see your mind behavior again. And most of the time, you have awareness to go in. You realize when you go in, it doesn't think that much anymore. But all this depends on your wisdom and your understanding. If your Dhamma understanding is not stable yet, if you are not able to mitigate all of your thought process while you go through your daily life, means your reaction to sense experience, the sensual desire and ill will, the like and dislike, the pleasant and the unpleasant reaction. So these first two mental hindrance and restlessness, which is the strong attachment and clinging and holding on that you have about issues and situation. These are the things that can be active, still active inside that. So if you don't have the understanding and wisdom to see things as they are, to be at peace with whatever you experience in life, in your daily life, then this type of thinking, the heedless thinking or the phenomenal, they will continue to arise. And that's the reason why I every time explain, you have to contemplate, reflect, understand, and straighten your view. The more you straighten your view, the less deluded you are, the less ignorant you are. Then the first link, avijja paccaya sankhara, within the 12 link, that will be weakened, or we call it attenuated. So when that ignorance or self-delusion has become weakened because you have straightened your view, and most of the time you are not having problem with situation, issue, or at the moment of sense experience, your mind is already different. It no longer react like before. It no longer stir like before. It no longer has this delusion or wrong view to be deceived by the phenomenal world, the conditioned arising world. Means you have done your five daily contemplation, you have done your meditative contemplation, the first turning, the study of the teaching, then the second turning, you have reflected, contemplated on all those Dhamma that the Buddha has taught. Then the third turning, you have meditated. Then you have trained your mind to be aware, to be mindful, to have the spiritual faculty. So when you stabilize all this, your mind will become completely different. It will transform from a heedless thinking state to a heedful mind. Then with your daily religious routine and your daily mindfulness, it will stabilize this mind until you are fully aware. When you when you are in that state, then only all this mind state will quiet down, will become different, will no longer behave like before. Understand? So now you have to go into your lying down, sleeping meditation, be aware. Then work on your daily life. Means must have right view not to react like before, not to stir your mind like before, not to be agitated like before. Means learn to see things as they are, reflect and contemplate, like what I used to tell you. Because if it's initially just a knowledge, you cannot put into practice. But when you put into practice, it becomes different. Like I always say, learn to see things as they are. People are just the way they are. The world is the world. You can't change the world. You have to change within. So understand all this. Then only mighty nature rolling by, no reality, he no you, he no. So understand all this, contemplate until very clear, until your views are very clear, straightened, not deluded. Then as real it can be, it's only the moment. Split second is dead and gone. It's just a thought, arise and pass away, impermanent, lead to suffering. Sabbe sankara anicca. So every day, incline on Dhamma, reflect, contemplate. I remember during the early day when I cultivate, throughout the day my mind reflect on Dhamma, understand, contemplate. Throughout the day, non-stop, even as I drive to work, walk to office, reach office, as I do my thing, when I'm free, I will reflect, I will contemplate. And when I do my thing, I'm very focused, I'm very aware what I do. If you are not determined until you have this ability to be serious about your cultivation, that's why throughout the day you learn to be mindful, aware, heedful. Not until you are heedful most of the time throughout the day, you still haven't understood the Buddha Dhamma. Because the Buddha said the heedless are as if dead. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. If you can be heedful throughout the day most of the time, that is the beginning of real meditation. Then only transformation will take place. Understand? Huh? This is how you can really improve yourself, develop the actual understanding. That's why it demands a lot of commitment, a lot of determination, affirmation. Through what? Through faith. Through understanding the importance of this teaching. Without this teaching, I am dead. My karma is dead. So this teaching, which is the Buddha Dhamma, is like the secret of life that can change your life destiny, can turn your life around. So what are you waiting? That's why you have to determine to learn this teaching, then put it into practice and establish all this. Because I have shared this many, many times already. So by now, you should be very clear and should be doing it until most of you are heedful most of the time. Anyway, then you will experience what I try to share with you. Your mind throughout the day, you become very different, very, very different. Then never be complacent, because the defilement of insight, the 10 defilement of insight, will come and disturb you. They will come and deceive you, make you think otherwise. So just have faith, then sincere, persevere. The teaching will unfold, the understanding will arise, and your meditation will progress, and you will become different. That is what the Dhamma is all about. That is what meditation is all about. And that is what the teaching is all about. It's really very simple when you understand. But you need to be determined. You need to have faith, sincere, persevere. Just do, don't question. You will understand by yourself. Where the Dhamma is pachetang, can be realized by the wise each for themselves. Wisdom will arise when there is samadhi. Samadhi means when your mind is quiet, heedful, peaceful. That's why without wisdom, samadhi cannot be strong. And without samadhi, wisdom cannot arise. Samadhi is the silent mind, very stable, able to have the clarity, to be fully aware throughout the day. Then at the moment of sense experience, there is no stirring, no reaction, because the mind is collected and unwavering. So that is what samadhi is all about. So samadhi leading to awakening. When you have this mind that has this spiritual faculty of samadhi, you will realize the truth. You will awaken to the truth. And for samadhi to arise, your mindfulness has to be very stable. When the mindfulness is very stable, then there is samadhi. There is strength in your silent mind. The silent mind is just awareness. But without the stability of it, there is no strength, no samadhi. samadhi is unwavering and collected. Means the silence can be maintained, can continue to exist. That is what samadhi is all about. And when you are in that state, sati and samadhi will bring forth the causes and conditions for you to understand and awaken to phenomena, the characteristics of phenomena. So samadhi will lead to the awakening, the wisdom. Then the wisdom will bring forth the equanimity, enlightenment factor, upeka, for the mind to have the real samadhi born of wisdom. They say samadhi and wisdom, they are together. Without samadhi, there is no wisdom. And without wisdom, there is no real samadhi. Meditation is just to understand this. Then do it. So the daily mindfulness is very important. Not until you can be mindful most of the time, throughout the day, even when you are going to sleep. That's why the Buddha said the four postures: standing aware, walking aware, sitting aware, lying down also aware. You have to be aware in all four postures. Then later, the connecting movement between the four postures, the daily mindfulness. Standing aware, then looking forward aware, bending, stretching, turning, fully aware. Then whatever you are doing in the midst of life, you maintain awareness. That is what sati is all about. The stability of it will lead to heedfulness. Heedfulness means ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why the constantly meditative is constantly cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. The ever mindful and the constantly meditative, if you stick to these two practices, the steadfast one, they will realize the born free, supreme born free, Nibbana. Means you are destined for enlightenment. So you only need to train yourself until you are mindful, heedful, and you are home. And like the Buddha said under Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas if you don't train your mind to be heedful, to be aware, to be constantly meditative and fully aware, ever mindful, you are heedless. Then the moment you are heedless, the Buddha said the heedless are as if dead. And heedlessness is the path to the dead. Spiritually, you are dead. You don't stand a chance. And the teaching is so clear, stated very clearly in all the Dhammapada verse, especially verse 21, 22, and 23. So focus on that. Be clear about that. Then determine to arise the faith, the virya, to train yourself to develop all this understanding, then you will become different. You will become beautiful. Okay? So we all should thank PG for the good question. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, any more question or anybody else who wants to report their meditation or ask any question, you can. We still have some time, really. Yeah, we still got 15 minutes. About the practice, I think by now you should be clear. You make a note of today's talk and listen to it again and again and again to understand it clearly. Then check, like a checklist, write it out. Check, am I clear? Have I done this? Have I done this? Have I done this? These are like your checklist. If this checklist also you have not done, then very difficult to see real progress. And very difficult to see the result. But if you have done them, I can guarantee you, within a very short period, you will progress at tremendous speed, and you will become very different. The moment you hit the daily mindfulness, you understand things yourself. Technically, you don't need teacher. Well, when you hit that, you will connect to the silent mind, the true mind. And most of the time, you are with that silent mind. And you are in a meditative state. Then your spiritual faculty will become very stable. Then, technically, no need to meditate. Throughout the day, you are in a meditative state. You don't have to train anymore. No more method, no more technique. Your mind is in the state of sati, aware, throughout the day. Then everything you do, seeing, aware, hearing, aware, smell, taste, tactile, feel, all things, aware. Even the hearing is with awareness, sati. That is the mind that you need to train, the meditative mind. The mind that is in sati is always aware. That's why I say you have to meditate until the mind very quiet, very still, until it hit pasati, the silent mind. Then technically you don't need a meditation object to train, to actually anchor it anymore. Your mind is already in sati. Then bring it into the daily life. That is how you cultivate. When your mind is already in sati, to bring it into the daily life and do this daily mindfulness is very easy. When your mind is already in sati, then you realize everything you do, all your action, all your movement, your thought process, you are fully aware. Every moment of sense experience, there is awareness. That's why the Buddha say, the enlightened one, they are awake. They are no longer sleeping. If you are still heedless, you are most of the time not aware. That's why you are still asleep. You have not developed the ability to be awakened. So, wakefulness is very important. Attentiveness, wakefulness, awareness, mindfulness. You have to train this mind and develop it. Until like the heart, the Platform Sutta say, the false thinking stop. And it can be done, not difficult. And this false thinking, when you understand, is not a problem at all, because you just allow it to be. Then it will slow down, it will cease. But you are no longer deluded by it, no longer deceived by it. And you understand, this is just a tool for you to use to live life. So if you use it with understanding, the thought become right thought. And that is how you use thought. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is about right view leading to right thought. So you can use thought when you understand. But before you understand, thought is a problem. Your thought is egoic. Thought create all the evil roots. That's why he say, mind is a forerunner of all things. Sakyamuni Buddha say. So from your self nature, the transformation mind come about. Transformation body come about. Means if you incline towards evil, the transformation body will be evil. Where mind is a forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. So if you act, speak and think with a heedless mind, with all the evil roots, then suffering will follow you. Evil will follow you. There you reap what you sow. So this teaching is very clear, very simple when you understand. Then just work on it. Contemplate, reflect, have faith, sincerely do it. Persevere, just do it. Then it will unfold, you will become different. Then you will come to a clear understanding that all this while living being cannot do it, most of the cultivator cannot do it because they don't understand this. And this is very simple, very clear. But they go and become gullible. Listen to this, listen to that, read here, read there, go everywhere and try this, try that. Like I used to give the example, if you are not focused, you do all this thing, trying here and there, it's not going to help you. What is going to help you is, the Buddha said, from the first right view, law of karma, if you don't do things following his advice to change your karma, your life is not going to be changed. Your life destiny will fall, will remain heedless the way it used to be. So unless you determine to understand this, determine to be heedful, to take care of karma and change your life will never change. Then after that, the second right view, Chitta Niyama, law of mind. You have to understand how your mind works, how it functions, how it makes you evil, heedless, how it entangles you in samsara, the 10 fetters, then determine to break free. Yeah. And how to break free? The third right view, Dhamma Niyama, the teaching, the essential Dhamma. That's why study it, understand it, put it into practice, and awaken to it. That's how your enlightenment can come. If you don't do all this, your life will never change. You will never change. Your meditation will not improve because you are gullible, you don't understand. So this is the teaching that has to be understood. It has to come to this civilization because there are causes and conditions for it to arise. Then with this, you combine with Huineng's teaching, the Buddha Sakyamuni's essential Dhamma, the teaching, everything like fall into place. It's like the whole zigzag puzzle. You can link them all. Then it becomes so clear. Then you come to realize that all the while the teaching was like that, but nobody really understood and able to link them and put it in words for living being to understand. That's why you cannot see real cultivator who can progress along the path of Dhamma. Hardly any, because most people are doing the thought-based meditation. They experience a lot of good meditation, which they thought is the progress. Because they experience a lot of meditative states that are so wonderful, so beautiful. And these are all energy field, thought-based, most of the time. And because of that, the Dhamma has declined all over the years, since Sakyamuni Buddha, 2000 over years until now. Then there are certain periods where it rise again, flourish during the sixth patriarch time. And the first 500 years when the Buddha's sasana was very strong, they call it the golden age at that time, characterized by a lot of enlightened beings. Then after that, the second 500 years, it fall, energy field take over, jhana, psychic and all those things take over, concentration. Then after that, the sutta, the vinaya, people argue. Then the fourth 500 years is method, technique until today, still arguing. All the division and all things created by mind. So this is how the Buddha Dharma was not able to rise. So over the years, great beings has come to try to put all this in order for you to understand. That's how you see the present day our civilization, this era. There are great Buddhist community or what they call set up, like Ciji, Fo Guang, Fo Guang, Singing Pastor Fo Guang San, then you got the Fa Ku San, the late Sen Yen Pastor, then you also have the other people, Chong Tai Chan Si, that master, I forgot his name. And there are many other Buddhist sects, community who has actually come out with their own understanding and their own teaching. Then they have been helping humanity. So like I explained before, Ciji do a lot of compassion in action. They contribute in a different way. They ask you to partake, do all this to help people. Then only they share with you the teaching. Then you are like a bodhisattva in the midst of life and society, Ren Jian Pu Sa. Then you do your work. Then you see the suffering that you witness while doing the work. Then when the teaching is shared with you through their Tai Tai and all those things and the various book and the various delivery of Dhamma that the master teach, the disciple learn. The follower learn, And that's how they contribute. Then the other Buddhists, we call it the Buddhist community that contribute like singing fast, they build all their temple to feed into their understanding, which is they stress a lot on Buddhist education. So their temple are very well designed. They have good understanding of the teaching. That's why if you want to learn the Buddhist Sutta and teaching, Pho Quang is one of the best places where they are good at that. Then they have very good training there to bring about Buddhist education. Of course, they also have meditation, but they are not the one that is very strong in it. Then compassion in action also, they are not strong. But Buddhist education, they are very strong. Where their temple are all built with the understanding of the Buddhist training and the education. Then Fakusan is the place where meditation is their forte or very good. They are very good at that. So this teacher, the late Master Sun Yan Fasu, he's very good in meditation. That's why you go to Fakusan. They have very good meditation teaching, training. And they also train people to be bodhisattva, to take the bodhisattva vow, to cultivate and promote this teaching and develop the ability to understand the Buddha Dhamma so that it can become what it used to be. It can flourish again. Then Chong Tai Chan Si is to plant the seed of Bohi for people who visit that place. And most of these great masters who come and establish all this very well set up Buddhist community or Buddhist association, or they call it, what do you call them? Like Tsuji or this, what do you call them? It's not a company. NGO. No, I don't think. The NGO is not a good word. What is it? What is the word? No. What is the English word? Oh, monastery. Maybe you should call it way place. All the various way place for people to develop their strong point. So what you should do is actually, you should go to Fakusan to learn meditation. Or you go to Pho Quang San to learn the Buddhist teaching, Pariyatti, the Buddhist education. Then go and put it into practice at Fakusan, go and meditate. Then after that, go to Tsuji, contribute, perform compassion in action. Then if you want to be more complete, after that, go to Chong Tai Chan Si to plant the seed of Bohi. To walk the Bodhisattva way. In fact, a lot of tradition, they also teach the Bodhisattva way, but depending on your affinity, the Triple Gem, and the depth of their understanding, they teach accordingly. And your affinity is very important. Then there are a lot of other great beings who come and contribute differently. So for this segmented life, this nature of mind come to fill it, the gap, because I just want to summarize all this for people to understand. My purpose is to link all this teaching. That's why the website is there, so that people understand the true cultivation is to break away all division. No more Theravada, Mahayana, or Vajrayana. It's just Buddha Dhamma, the truth. And you just have to understand truth to progress. You don't need to cling on to any of these religious labels to take side or divide yourself into that category of practitioner. No need. That's why when people ask me, I say I start with Theravada. I never say I'm a Theravada Buddhist. I never even say I'm a Mahayana Buddhist. No point. That is just a label. My nature just come for the sake of living being, and it is here to learn whatever teaching that is available, the highest teaching, to understand and comprehend them, and to share whatever you understand. That's it. So with this, if this teaching is been like explained clearly and clearly expounded and shared, all this recorded repository of Dhamma resource will be very, very useful in the future for cultivator of the way. Even now is very useful for those who have the affinity, especially Kayanamitas. Thus I make full use of the website, listen to it, all the sharing, read up all the important transcript, then go through the purpose, means the intent of all this activity, how we form our Kayanamita grouping, and what is the objective of this website and all those things, and how it started, the origination condition, then the objective behind. So all these are very clearly spelled out in our website. You go to the menu, you start, you go to the home page, which will show us all the latest activity. Then after that, you got the various subtitle or topic that you can go into the details. And these are all very useful information. And when you fully understand, you will have a lot of joy, a lot of gratitude, a lot of like respect for what has been done. And you can be proud because you are one of the Kayanamitas who enable all this to arise, to happen. So if you are the community members and those who have contributed and helped, your merits are limitless. Because this teaching is going to help many, many cultivator who have the affinity, the understanding to progress along the path of Dhamma. And this one can contribute in a great way to humanity, to the future growth of the sasana. The sasana can flourish. So all this is already there. Make full use of it. And whatever we do now, it will continue to enhance and contribute towards that website. So now everything has been done up in a very professional way, the recording, the what they call, like Chinao has helped us to sort them out. And we are still doing all this so that the website can be constantly updated, and with all the relevant title for people to go in and look for the talk. The only thing we have not done much is because the Tuesday class, the Thursday class, and the Sunday class, they are very general topic. We don't have particular title for it. So when people want to understand certain things, they find that it's too many talk, they don't know which one to go to. So they just try their luck. That's why I say, you make a note. Every time this talk is very good, like today one is about cultivation. So you make a note. Then you, maybe in the website, tell Chin Hao, if you want to understand the cultivation in detail, you listen to this talk. So these are the things that we can help, contribute, improve upon. Whereas the clang talk is different. The title are there, and the clang talk are all very beautiful because of the title. The sharing is very, very focused on the title. Ours, the topic is very general because we have the sutta class, first 1.5 hour, then the second 1.5 hour is meditation, followed by general reporting of meditation and Q&A. That's why it's very general. So this is the situation that we prefer to have, because every of these classes is different. Tuesday class discuss different things. Thursday class discuss different things. And our Sunday class discuss different things. Then we have the Dhamma talk, which is the house dana, or what they call the clang talk and other things. Then specific topic like Bodhisattva way and all the other sharing that we have. Then we have the retreat, annual retreat from Cameron Highland, Brinchang. So all these, they are all in the website. Okay, what's the time now? Oh, sorry. Already 6 minutes plus 6. So we should end, eh? Okay, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we will recall to mind all the wholesomeness that we have developed. Eh? Then we will share this merits. We've all been starting with the devas. Akka satta ca bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana itta watta camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabbasampata siddhiya idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the other great beings, worthy ones.